So this morning, I'd often thought about this parable in terms of the two lost stories, the lost coin and the lost sheep, that I had not paid attention to those first two verses. So I want to set the stage for us so that we understand it, that over the course of reading Luke this season, we have Luke who has ate with Pharisees, that banquet he was invited to, when he reminded them who they should have as their guests. Remember the conversation around hospitality? That maybe you need those sinners, those beggars, those people on the street at your table more than you need the ones who will invite you back to their house. And then last week when we were talking and reading the scriptures, it was Jesus speaking to a whole crowd. And remember I talked about who was possibly in that crowd, whether it might have been some Pharisees and scribes who were, you know, plotting against him, maybe just the ones coming to see the miracles and wanting to see the big show, and then those who are thinking about their lives, and then his disciples. So this morning, the scripture begins at telling us that tax collectors and sinners are coming near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling about it, because he welcomes those sinners and he eats with them. And I praise the Lord. Every time we come to the Lord's table, I am grateful that I get to eat with Jesus. Or I could be like Paul and say the foremost sinner of them all. Anyway, so with that being said, Jesus then tells this parable. This is the section where he tells three parables. Not just two, three. We only hear the first two this morning. The lost sheep, the lost coin. And then if you move on, you have the prodigal and his brother, which is an important thing to remember. Hopefully, I'll get to it in the end. If not, someone raise your hand and say, "You didn't tell us," and I'll tell you. Anyway, so often when we hear these parables, especially the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, we think of ourselves as the one who are seeking the lost. What's important is, as Jesus tells this story, the one who is seeking is God. God is seeking us, the lost. So this shepherd is seeking a lost sheep. Now, sheep are very aware of the fact that they have no defenses. So this sheep lost in the wilderness is not braying out his or her place of hiding. Hiding very deep, probably shaking like a leaf. And the shepherd has to do all the work to find that sheep. The shepherd does all the work to find that sheep. But Jesus concludes that parable with saying how the shepherd rejoices that he's found it, carries the burden. No, we don't have the picture here. Carries the burden on his shoulder all the way to the sheep herd, and then invites everybody in to rejoice over the lost. And then the second parable is the lost coin. God, this time, is a woman who has lost a coin. Now, none of you got to meet my mother. My mother was this amazing woman, and she could save money better than anyone I knew. She was very frugal, and I can imagine my mother doing this very thing, cleaning the whole house to find that lost coin. Even though she might not really have needed it for the budget that week, but it was important because it was part of the income and she was going to find it. So she, again, this woman, does all the work to find the coin. Because coins can't speak. Coins can't say, "Hey, you dropped me under the table. I'm under that box." We have to do the work, or God has to do the work, to find us. John Wesley called that prevenient grace, the grace that goes before us, the grace that woos us into this relationship with God. And God is searching for us and calling to us and encouraging us to be in this loving relationship with God and repenting of our sins. So the woman does the same thing, that when she finds the coin, she rejoices and she has to go tell her friends. And then Jesus says this, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So why is it important for us to remember the first two verses? The first two verses are to the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones who are the teachers of the word, of the law, the ones who guide and direct the community of the Hebrew people, the ones who should be rejoicing when one joins the fold. Jesus is reminding them that the sinners and the tax collectors are part of God's kingdom, and that they should be rejoicing that he is eating and speaking to sinners so that they might know God as the Pharisees and the scribes know God. So maybe he's talking even to the 99 of us, the 99 sheep who are safe in their pen, safe in their relationship with God. Are we rejoicing and welcoming in those who are lost? Or are we making dividing lines about who can come in and who cannot come in? Do we remember the sin when they join us and repent of it and always identify them as the sin? Or do we rejoice and identify them as a new person in God? So why the third parable? You notice in the first two, in the lost sheep and the lost coin, we hear these things. I tell you, there will be no joy in heaven over one sinner. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But we get to the ending of the parable of the prodigal son. And in the ending of the parable, as the father has rejoiced, as the father has called everyone in and had this huge party for the son who came back, the one who stayed, comes back from the field and has to ask, what's all that noise about? And his father has to go out to him. And he says to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. And then the parable ends. And we don't know if the brother who stayed ever joins the party. So Jesus tells us over the course of these three parables how important it is to celebrate that which is lost, and how it's the community that gathers around that one who was lost and is now found and celebrates their inclusion into the kingdom of God. But often we might, who are insiders, see them as outsiders or possibly just kind of on that fringe and maybe not be as welcoming as we could be. That sometimes we get upset, as that older brother did, because, hey, I've been around all this time and you never gave me a little party. And so we get those human emotions that cause us to maybe put some distance between the saint and the sinner when we're all both saint and sinner in one body. There's been a coming trend in current new developments in churches. I think we call them fresh expressions, where they're going to bars and they're having hops and hymns or beer and hymns. They're going to those places. They're choosing to go out into those places and worship in places where people wouldn't expect to worship God, so that maybe they can get to know the one who is seeking them or seeking us. Because in the end, what Jesus is telling us is sometimes we who are the 99 are really the ones who are lost and need to be found. We are the ones who are sinners and need to repent. We are the ones who have to remember. The older son had to remember, had to be reminded by his father, What I have had has always been yours. I found you. That watching Mighty Joe Young dance and get so excited about having found her, even though she jumped out. That is what heaven does when we say yes to God. There's a party going on, and we're all invited to it. So let us be the ones who welcome in those who have been lost, because we all know what it feels like to be lost and what it feels like to be found. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.